This is Steve Heitzer, and you're listening to Everyone Needs a Spotter. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Everyone Needs a Spotter, the multifamily fitness podcast brought to you by the expert team here at RMS Fitness. And we're back with our leaf blower again. If you've ever listened to one of our prior episodes, every now and then we get some outside noise influence, and that one started real quick. But as always, I am excited to introduce myself and the team. I am the host, Steve Heitzer, happy and as always to be joined here by the full podcasting team. As I always say, it's been a little bit of a while, but we're back and happy to be here. Immediately to my left before he disappears, because Lord knows he's off to do that every now and then. Steve and the Don Donadio, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Steve? It's definitely nice to have another podcast. It's been a minute, but it's good to be back together with everyone.
It has been. We've only been able to schedule our podcast in line with the solar eclipses this year, so unfortunately they've been few and far between. Across from me diagonally, leading fearlessly from the corner, as is always his task, fearless leader Robert Decker. How you doing, buddy?
I'll get back to you, Steve. But I will say it has been an eventful first half of the year.
First half plus 2 months, in fact. We're practically into month 8 here.
I can't believe it, man.
I mean,
it was August 1st already.
June and July, they got no business doing what they did.
That was 1 month.
I don't even think it was a month.
That was
somehow
a month.
I lost 8 weeks in like three days.
May, June, July.
I have not introduced you yet. You can't talk yet.
I'm not introduced yet.
But before we get too far into it, let me bring her in here, but that way she can be part of the conversation. You know her, you love her. You've probably seen her staying fit after 40 recently. Emily moves and foods herself. Little wipey, Emily Vinos.
What's going on, Steve and the crew? Bob, glad to see you brought your energy. Steven. Always a pleasure when we get to see you.
Always.
And Steve, yeah, man, good to be here.
Yeah. Look, you got one or two more projects going on. Your intro is going to take too long. I don't know if I can. You're like, you got more nicknames than Muhammad Ali over there. But no, you know, we're very happy to be here with everybody and just kind of doing what we do, man. So, you know, really quickly, I know you typically like to run through kind of recent experiences and things. Anything exciting, Robert, from recent interactions with the crowd you'd like to share? I know you've had a busy couple weeks. You've had some training with the new guys here that you've done. You've had some special events like that. How have your summer weeks been here?
Yeah, Steve, as I mentioned, the first 6 months of the year, we were moving quite quickly and a little too quickly in some ways. And so we took some time to spend some quality time with the technicians. We had that little training session. It's nice to see the guys who have been here for a while use their expertise to share some insight with their new team members. And so we did that for a while. That created some good energy. Some reminders constantly. I think it's one thing to have business carry on, and then what happens is then those things that you want to address pile up. And I didn't want to create a negative vibe. I wanted to just commend the team for the hard work. You know, we do a lot here. Most people might think all we do is sell and repair and maintain, but there's actually stuff outside of those things, you know, moving equipment, reinstalling equipment. We've had quite a few people reach out to us in trying to help them. I don't want to go too far into some of the requests that I've received over the last few weeks where equipment has been disassembled by someone. And then they can't get it back together, and then they reach out to us. And unfortunately, that's more of a distraction. We really can't help at that point. But again, I don't want to steal the thunder. But that's pretty much in a nutshell. Things got away from us the first 6 months. We had a chance to reset. I think we feel good about ending the last half of the year strong. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, there's a lot that goes into a fitness repair sales maintenance operation that maybe doesn't show up, you know, in a lot of people's thought processes. You know, they're used to sending the emails to us. They hear our communication. They're used to seeing the technicians show up with parts and tool bags, but that's like 10% of what happens. You know, the other 90% is what it takes to get all that there, right? How do we make sure we get the right parts? How do we make sure that we write things up properly? How do we communicate that well to the customer and the client? So those are all things that we were looking at that meeting, trying to make sure that that's all being executed at a high level. You know, the repairs is one part. Selling the equipment is one part. But making sure that it all happens at the RMS standard that our customers have come to expect and appreciate, that takes effort, that takes planning. And it was nice to see that training session that you had. I know I made a post about it on LinkedIn, but I thought it was worth noting. If anyone has seen that video and taken a look at it, one thing you'll notice, which I think is pretty cool, is that we have a lot of like fresh, young faces in those videos right now. And for a company that is very involved in, you know, the trades type work, there's electrical, there's mechanical involved in what we do. You know, we haven't seen that surge of people coming into our industry in the past few years. But some of the things that have gone on, I think, in the world have awakened people to the value of knowing how to work with your hands and things. And we're even seeing some young people, you know, start to kind of come back to asking us for those types of opportunities again. So we're excited to be training some of those young guys because, man, I know our backs could probably all use some 18, 19, and 20-year-old hitters out there.
But Steven, for sure.
How about your past couple weeks, Steven? Anything you encountered that you think is worth sharing?
Yeah, so like usually the summer months is like the budget season. So I've been visiting a lot of properties, some return customers asking for some proposals for the following year.
Genius at work, guys.
It's true.
So I've been in the Virginia area frequently, just preparing for the coming budgets and the coming year. From what it looks like, 2026 is going to be a hot year for sure, because I think they're ready to revamp some equipment, some rooms. So it's looking bright.
Yeah, you gotta get out there and have all those conversations in the hot months, you know, be out there walking around when it's 102 degrees out. But Emily, what about you the past couple weeks? Anything new and exciting you've been up to that you might like to tell the friends about? No?
No. Well, obviously, you've alluded to it, but started this new Instagram page, kind of based off of something that Robert and I had created several years ago, back when we were in two offices ago, back before COVID. And it was called What's Up with Emily, where I just talked about healthy foods. I went live every day. So I thought it would be fun to kind of, you know, piggyback off that and hold myself accountable. Now, everyone knows here that I usually start the morning coming into our beautiful showroom that we're so lucky to have. Try to get a workout in the morning. So just trying to amp that up a little bit, as well as record my progress and trying to just be motivating for other people, really being a real deal person. And what you see is what you get, and just trying to motivate people. It's hard to work full time as well as trying to do all the things, you know, fitness wise for yourself, especially, you know, just staying motivated that way. But in the past couple of weeks, you know, it's still summertime, so people are taking vacations, and then we had a couple of car accidents, not our fault here at work.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of readjusting, redirecting what we were going to do for the day. And you know what? I mean, as crazy as that is and unfortunate as that is, we always have a great time. We make the best out of it. So,
yeah.
Again, like...
That's a good example of one of those things nobody thinks about. That you know how hard it is to get these techs to your buildings out here?
Like,
with all these heat-seeking missile terrible drivers out here on the road, that in and of itself is a hurdle that we deal with.
But we make the best of it. We still have a lot of fun. And, I mean, honestly, like, I can't be more thankful to, again, have a gym that I can come and get a workout in, and then also a job that I love the people I work with and have so much fun.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's a good point. It's good. We're grateful to have that set up. And we should just express that, obviously, we were joking, but we're very grateful that everybody that was involved in those vehicle accidents is safe, whether they're RMS employees or otherwise. You know, just be careful out there, people. Slow down. It's not that important. I don't even know what it is, but I promise it's not that important. Just slow down.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that we wanted to kind of get on here and talk about a little bit today, Steven sort of alluded to it a little bit, budget season, some of the conversations that come around with that. We talk about budget season a lot. But one thing I'm encountering, and I know, Robert, you've encountered it a little bit recently, is a lot of requests related to either very old equipment or very crowded rooms that maybe were designed at a point in time when the approach to these fitness centers was different, the way people use these fitness centers was different, and it has created a lot of interesting conversations, some unique hurdles and challenges, I think, for some properties in our market as they attempt to kind of reconcile their gym in 2025 against maybe what they did 10, 15 years ago. And I just thought that might be nice to talk about that, the overcrowding and aging equipment and maybe how all of that comes together. So I know this was kind of a subject that was near and dear to your heart. We talked about it this morning. Kind of what was the catalyst for you, so to speak, in wanting to talk about that? Did you have a specific experience?
I did, and I think it's going to throw some stones to some of our fellow competitors. But it is what it is. Let's just be honest. And I think that's where we try to be more informative with our customers throughout the entire process. We have a term called account manager in the building, and our account manager's sole purpose is to make sure that that relationship continues to grow. Once Emily brings them in as a client, we introduce them from the start with their account manager. Sometimes I'll take over the account just to nurture it through the beginning, because most of that is service focused. And then once we start to see that they're going to need a little more information as the equipment, to your point, gets older, that's when the account manager is introduced now and starts to have those talks. So recently, there's a client that I've been working with for a very long time, and you put in a facility, or you did the fitness center in a property across the street from them. And of course, it looks modern. It looks up to date. It has everything. It's very appealing. And then there they are. And they have a room that's much smaller. From the beginning, it was set up with a few pieces of cardio and then a few pieces of strength. Now they want to start adapting the room more functionally. So I got this request for a punching bag and a bracket to mount it to the wall. And I said, who recommended this? And they told me and showed me, and I reviewed it, and I noticed there's no thought on how to mount the bag. And then I said, why is the bag going into the room? You know, what's the purpose behind the bag? You know, where are you going? Once you mount this bag, that's it. Then you, because that bag is going to require a lot of room, and you have to bolster the wall. Steven mm-hmm. would know this. You have to put a backing into the wall in order to mount the bag, because a 100-pound bag is 100 pounds, but then when you hit it with force, as it's moving, it's creating more weight and pull on that wall. So anyway, the thing is that I feel for the client. They're piecemealing this fitness center without any plan. It's like, okay, we'll add this. Now we'll add that. We'll add this. And I think that we could educate them, not only from this podcast, but just in person. What do you want to do? Where do you want the facility? What does the ownership want in 5 years? Are you going to be selling the building in 5 years? Are you going to be selling in a year? Or are you in this for a while? Like most homeowner associations, that building's not going anywhere. So think about where you want it to go and how you want to approach it. And I think that's the toughest challenge, is because they see they have, and I'm making this up, 30 pieces of equipment, where only 20 pieces should be in the room. So what do? We go in, we say, pull these few pieces out, make room for this. And there's a little bit of resistance in making those changes. Well, we don't want to take that out because this one person uses this piece of equipment. And then my argument is, well, they can use this one, and then other functions this machine can do. So I think a lot of properties are getting to that point, at least here locally, where they want to try to modernize the room. They want to try to catch up to the latest trends of fitness, but they're not letting go of the old thinking.
Yeah.
And that's where we come in. We arm wrestle our clients a lot of times. Let go of the old thinking. This is where your fitness center needs to go, not only for the functions, but the appeal. Mm-hmm. The people who are coming in to lease, this is what they're looking for. If not, they're always going to gravitate to the new properties. And that's where those who have had a property, owned property for a while, they're losing out on these things.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there are a lot of residents, and I've heard from a lot of property managers in that DC, Maryland metro area. They talk about how residents like just don't really renew, how like there's a certain purchasing group or a certain customer base down there who they just move to the new buildings because they want the fresh brand. So they may stay a year or two, but then they don't really have the intention of staying because they know that the best way to always have the best amenities is to always be with the newest, best building, because you're going to have the challenges you talked about. Now, what I think is often kind of the curse, so to speak, that happens is that once your gym gets to be antiquated or out of style or out of appealing, you know, design or however you might want to put that, well, what you'll notice is the use of the fitness center will go down. And then when you start having conversations about, well, let's update, let's improve, well, then you'll start getting pushback like, well, not a lot of people use the gym, or we don't get a lot of use, or you know, owners never see anyone there. And then we try to have the conversation, well, that could be because you've got 17 treadmills and only 3 people in your whole community want to run for 45 minutes a day. You know, the demand for equipment has changed. So it doesn't matter how many treadmills you have. If people want to be deadlifting, squatting, doing bench press, or staying functionally fit, if they don't have the space or the programming to do it, they're just going to go to the gym down the street. And you may not even know that that's what they're doing. You know, they may just be leaving your community, but they could be in the back of their mind thinking, when my lease is up, I'm just going to move to one of these new properties that has the more modern type of amenity. So it can be tough to break that cycle, because once you're in it, you know, obviously that's where you're at. The owner's invested into the equipment they had, and there's an expectation to maintain and upkeep that for a certain amount of time. But you're not just in the business of keeping and maintaining equipment. You're there to what is the fitness center there to do? Like, beyond just help people stay fit, Emily, what's it for?
I mean, it's really to draw people in.
It's a marketing tool. Like, you don't put this amenity in your building just to like, because you want everyone to be the most fit person in the world. Like, obviously that's a benefit to having a fitness center, but the point of it is to encourage someone to live at your property. Like, that's what your gym is for. It's not, you don't want your gym to encourage someone to live at someone else's property. You want them to encourage them to live at your property. So I think that's what you were getting at, Robert, mm-hmm. is that it can be a challenging, you know, apple to take a bite of, you know, when you're trying to figure it out initially. But like, Stephen, what would you say are some of the most common issues that we see in these spaces that just exist that are easy to fix, easy ways to make space, easy ways to like just, you know, open that up? And but that we also do, we see pushback to it. What are some of the things you can think of?
Yeah, so kind of like I had a this conversation kind of triggered a memory of one of the clients that I was at like 2 months ago. They were polling all the people that recently renewed, and they tallied the results as to why they chose this property. And 85% of the people said the amenities mm-hmm. was one of the factors that led to them signing the lease agreement. And so that led them to think and realize they need to focus on these amenities and keep them up to date. Because the surrounding properties, and that's the other thing, the surrounding properties were out of date in their amenities. So, like, and it goes to your point. So if you're on top of the amenities, it's all eye-catching, and it's up to date and the latest and greatest, well, you're going to guarantee more foot traffic coming to your property, and having that high occupancy rate, which is something that most properties like to tout. And so some of the most basic things that you can do is, like we talked about, overcrowding of the fitness centers. That can, although you want as much as possible in the room, that can be a detriment. So having less equipment, but what you have in terms of the equipment that you select, have it be multifunctional. Mm-hmm. And when you have that multifunctional space, it looks bigger than what the gym actually is, especially in those fitness centers that have small space. So you have to be really selective and make smart decisions in those things. And that's what we try to guide our customers with. And with the software that we have, we can show them what things can look like, and so that we can help our customers make an informed decision and have a good amenity space.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was kind of what I was thinking, is some of those ideas that you brought up. Robert, I saw your hand just now.
Yeah, I didn't want to cut you off, Steve, but Steven reminded me of a job that Logan had just done. And I'm telling you, the room, the fitness room was as big as the room we're in right now.
So huge. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
So, but the equipment they had originally had in there was full commercial, and it had lasted 15 plus years. And it was, but it was so large, you really, there's no way more than one person could work out. Even if they person got on the treadmill, you felt uncomfortable in the air because you were breathing the same air. They were exhaling, you were breathing it in. I mean, it was, and Emily knows what room I'm talking about. And so what our friends in the industry might not realize is that vendors like True Fitness is designing fitness equipment that has the same functions but a smaller footprint. And that's what we did. We took in this equipment. And you know, Logan spoke to the regional. The regional was like, wow, there's so much more room in here. People are now going to want to come in. Now, granted, they probably needed to do some lighting and some painting. But, hey, the equipment was the first start. It stimulated something. Ownership saw it, loved it, because, again, we went in with the mentality of got to completely start over here. And here's a machine that's going to do all of this in this corner, and then you've got a couple pieces of cardio that they're taking up a very small footprint. And they loved it. And they turn around and want to know if they can put something else in the room. So we'll have to have that discussion. But the point was is that we went in and we achieved the goal that Steven just mentioned. Fine equipment that will do what it needs to do. But when they're showing the room, it doesn't look like, hey, I don't want to be in there. There's nowhere to move around. So... yeah, all in all, goal was accomplished.
Yeah, we'll be going right around. Everyone got comments. Emily?
Well, I was thinking of another spot that is a really big room, but it has a ton of old strength equipment. And we know that strength equipment will last forever. So it's hard to kind of convince someone to get rid of it, because if it's not broken, why get rid of it? However, if it looks dated, that makes it less appealing to people to want to use it. And then the functionality has changed, you know, over the years of the strength equipment. So how it was designed before is probably not super beneficial to use anymore. So that's another thing that property managers can think of when trying to open up space. Is there just so much like older equipment, like even though the strength, like I said, the strength may not be broken, can you remove some of these items, consolidate to what Robert said, to something that is a smaller footprint, and then just add so much more, you know, space for someone to do floor workout, functionality movements. So sometimes it's just a matter of removing the stuff that you don't think should be removed because it's not broken. But if no one's using it, you might as well just get rid of it. Simplify the space. Less is more. So
no, I mean, it is. And like, really, just thinking about what you were talking about, like I just had a customer this week, who we've been talking for probably 3 years now about the need to replace their strength equipment, because to your point, strength equipment can be, you know, the frame elements, barring anything earth-shattering happening to that equipment, should be fine. Like, the actual frame elements of the unit should just be okay. You're really talking about pulleys, cables, attachments, things like that. And we can repair that for a long time. We had a customer who has probably repaired one cable on this machine 3 times already this year and then sent me an email saying, isn't this like the 3rd time? And I said, it sure is. And I said, this is because... this is the conversation we've been having, year after year. I said, you have very old strength equipment that you've maintained well, but the way it was designed 15 years ago, or however old it was when it was designed, it doesn't support the way people use equipment now. So it's a pull-down machine. People keep stepping back away from the unit and trying to use it for like tricep pushdowns, and that angle they're putting on the cable, no matter how many times we replace it, because they're not using it correctly and the machine wasn't designed 15 years ago with that thought in mind, it's just going to keep eating the cables up. And I told him, I said, fortunately, you have us come out quarterly and we can check and inspect this, but the problem is that eventually one of these cables is going to go at a time when before we catch it. I said, and you know about this problem. We've highlighted it to you. I said, so there's some responsibility on the part of the properties to like understand that old equipment, just because it can be repaired, does not necessarily mean that you're doing your residents or your owners really even a service, because if something happens with that, it could really be problematic. And that goes all ties into what we were talking about with these rooms, these, you know, older equipment, overcrowded equipment. You have to start making a plan to how to address these things before they become, you know, whole rooms that need to be addressed all at one time and you have no choice, because we end up with clients who end up in that situation. It's like you wake up one day and you walk in the gym and it's like, oh man, everything's basically got to go. Well, that could have been avoided with a little more like thoughtful approach to things too. So that was just something I thought of. And then just removing inventory of equipment that is overrepresented is huge. And it can be painful because it looks nice when you look in your room and you see, oh, we have five treadmills, but what's the reality of five treadmills unless you have a very, very active space? What are you most likely going to find when you walk into a room with five treadmills? If you have three people using them, which three are going to be in use? What would you guess?
Two on the end and one in the middle.
Yeah, you're going to have basically two treadmills holding space because people just want room. And like, unless you have demand for five treadmill users, you're going to end up with two placeholders. Mm-hmm. Most properties don't have demand for five treadmill users at one time. So that space that you could, rather than just putting a $6,000, you know, bookmark in there, basically, you can use that space. You can condense your treadmills down and then use that space for stretching room, functional fitness, a free weight machine that you don't already have that is more on trend and modern. Mm-hmm. And odds are that free weight machine is going to be less expensive than the treadmill you were trying to buy and cost less to maintain over the years. Yep. So you're more appealing. You are not wasting space. You are less expensive up front and probably less expensive to maintain. It just requires you to be open to rethinking the approach that was taken originally to the space. And I think that's always a kind of a mental hurdle, is like, but we have five now. And it's like, that's the thought process. So do you run into that at all? Like, that kind of stubbornness with that?
All the time, especially treadmills, you know, that can be hit or miss depending on the property. But, and I come across that all the time. Five treadmills, three of them are used for the most part, and you get one getting cobwebs. But for some reason, it's like some properties are stuck with like three or four ellipticals, and they feel like they have to stay with that. And it's like the elliptical domination of the market is not what it used to be. It's a dying trend, unfortunately, and not many people are using ellipticals like they used to. And so, kind of getting them to stop with the cookie cutter fitness room that everyone is all used to doing. And kind of thinking outside the box and adding some more versatility. Once you get them to that level and then they actually see that, then, and they see the impact and how a gym looks after that, then you got them sold for 10, 15 years on new stuff coming out. You know? Yeah. So that's the hard part, is getting them to make that decision. But also, it's like you're talking to a property manager or a regional manager, but oftentimes they have to sell it and preach it to the owners, because sometimes the owners are the ones who are like, well, this is what we're used to. We just want to stick to that. So, you know, it's a tough battle to reach, but it's worth fighting for, because it makes a good impact and it makes everyone happy.
Well, I think that you make a good point too. And that's a nice reminder, is that, you know, and you kind of led early on in the conversation with the idea that someone recommended something to a customer because the customer wanted something. Like, you're always going to be able to find someone who's willing to sell you what you think you want. I think where value really gets added to those to those transactions is when you work with someone who maybe doesn't just do exactly what you say. Like, you know, for instance, you know, you could have just said, oh, I can get you that heavy bag and just put it up there, and you could have known that they were going to have the same problem with you that they would have had with somebody else, and that would have been their own problem, you know, whatever. But you identified that, and you weren't willing to just, you know, send them down that river to make a dollar.
But I'll add to that. So you said exactly that. So I legitimately just had to sign a piece of paper, and the transaction would have been complete.
Mm-hmm.
But I stopped and said, okay, I need more background. And I think, one, I hope that sends a message to the clients that we're working with now and any new clients, but also to others in our industry, is find out what the customer's goals are. What are they trying to do with the room? It's not, you know, if that were the case, then they would just go online and just buy the equipment. But our clients are really looking for someone that will educate them. So I had a great experience I wanted to share before I forgot, is that, and you just helped me draw out the room for this person, and I'll just mention her first name, Caitlin, reached out to me with the room that we've been working 2 years now with. And in a conversation with her, she said, "What's the latest trends? And I want you to think about long-term as far as replacement, you know, what's being used." And I know this is going to send a tremor across the universe, but we've said it on multiple podcasts. If you're not in a community that's 55 and over, there's no reason for TVs. There's no reason. I can tell you now, when you go in your facility, you're going to see them on their own devices.
Yep.
99.9% of the time. You're putting money into the property that you could use somewhere else. You really could. You could use it in some other amenity. And that's what I mean about the education that we, the four of us, go through and we pass along to the team. We don't stop educating ourselves. We don't stop looking at the latest trends. We're not here to simply just take a list and fulfill the list like we are, I don't know, delivering supplies. You know, we're legitimately qualifying the room, understanding the purpose behind the room, who's there, what's the next 5 years, 10 years look like, how do we maintain this? So there's so much more involved than simply, hey, I need a heavy bag, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, and I think like that's really where, you know, I have a project right now where someone, you know, is working on a gym with actually three gyms, and they flew in somebody from like Chicago to fly out and take a look at this facility that I was working on with them and basically provide like a counter quote. And there were certain things in their proposal that I'm not loving, like, you know, that they were asking me to match, and I was not like cool with the approach that was being taken. And I kind of just had to put my foot down and say, like, respectfully, like, this person lives in Chicago and isn't going to have to deal with the results of trying to put this equipment into this facility. Like, we are local. That's one of the huge advantages of working with us, is that in addition to, you know, especially for local customers, is that in addition to selling, we service and repair. So we kind of know the full three-dimensional view of what you're signing up for. I highly doubt that this enterprise in Chicago is very concerned about what happens like day two, you know, after that install is complete. So I kind of push back, and I hope that the customer will value the fact that we were there and we've kind of thoughtfully addressed those concerns and didn't just pivot our proposal and to match what the other person did. I could have done that. You know what I mean? I could have just swiveled some things around, and I'm sure that would have been enough to secure a transaction, to your point, like what you said earlier. But you know, it's more meaningful to, like, if you're going to put your seal on something, you want to feel good about it, not just from the standpoint of, oh, I got a sale done, but that it's going to support the customer's needs and expectations. And there's safety elements involved in this mm-hmm. stuff too, obviously, you know, that it is really important. All this stuff we talked about with smaller, newer, more modern equipment, less treadmills. Like we talked recently, there was a change, right, between 4 and 6 feet with the treadmill distance yep. behind things. Smaller equipment, more modern equipment. How's that going to assist with making these spaces more safe, right? It's all in the equation. So when it comes to your treadmills and clearances, yeah, maybe you don't have 6 feet behind your treadmill currently because that wasn't what you needed when you bought your equipment. But it is what they recommend now. At a certain point in time, they didn't recommend you wear a seatbelt in the car either.
Right.
You know, now they do. Would you ever say, well, some people do, but but would most normal level-headed people ever say, well, when I was younger, they didn't make me wear a seatbelt and I was just fine? You know, like, no, we understand that, like, the danger is understood. We need to be safe. This is all important stuff. So allow us to help you with these crowded rooms, with this older equipment. Promise you, We will not steer you astray. There might be one person in your community who wants to know why you got rid of their favorite 17th elliptical, but I promise you the net benefit to your property will far surpass any small grievances that come from us making those changes. So a little trust, a little confidence, a little wipey. Any thoughts?
No, it's all good points. It's hard. I can't imagine how hard it is to be a property manager. I mean, really, you're looking at everything. And sometimes the fitness center just seems, really does seem like a set it, forget it. You know, I got equipment in there. If it's functioning, just leave it. But that's why, you know, we're here, because we want you to be, we want you to have a successful career in your property management. You like, and we want to be there to put our name on it. And we're proud to put our name on the room and to design it in a way that is good for you and for the property. It makes you look good, you know. So, yeah, that's, we enjoy it. So, yeah. Listen to us.
Listen to us, which you're already doing by listening to this lovely episode of Everyone Needs a Spotter, brought to you by RMS Fitness. No, but really, I think that's just about it, guys. You know, we kind of touched on that subject pretty thoroughly. Minor footnote too: it's easier to keep your gym clean if it's not so crowded. You know, if your cleaners aren't working around a million different pieces of equipment and
wires
and cables and every other, your attachments are all over the place and the accessories are thrown around. Like, you know, it's all in the soup. It all is in the recipe, you know, to help, let us help you to create a more enjoyable experience all around in that way. But really, that's basically it. You know, as is our custom before we wrap up, we always go, what are we getting into this weekend, Steven? Where are the travels taking you? You got your passport all filled out, ready to go?
Yeah. Just Harford County. That's where I'm at.
Oh,
just staying local.
Okay.
Yeah, just got this weekend. There's like two graduation parties, so I'll be dealing with that.
Summertime.
Yep, it's summertime things. But other than that, you know, just try to keep a low key chill weekend.
Yeah, it's been like 128 degrees the past 17 weeks, so pretty excited for maybe a slightly cooler weekend. But Robert, fearless leader. Sorry, I got distracted. We had a visitor approach the door.
We're always live here.
What's up with your weekend, sir?
Let's see. I am going to attempt some landscaping around my deck this weekend. The temperatures have gotten cooler. So the attempt is to try this new product. Not that I'm selling other products for the company. But apparently I am tired of weeds. So I'm going to do the plastic, the rocks, the spray that holds the rocks together.
Wow. All right.
So
it's quite, you know, quite a weekend.
So submitting proposals for your 2026 landscaping budget. No.
One and done.
Best wishes for that one, sir.
Thank you.
Little Vinos, I must call you. Little wifey. As she's rubbing her head, like, get me off this microphone.
No, I think the only thing is, we're starting to pick it up here.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Thanks, Steven.
Yeah.
The only thing I have going on is a day trip to DC tomorrow, which I always love, and I'm glad that the weather is a little bit better. So
yeah,
you know, be good to walk around and enjoy that.
Yeah, should be a nice day. I got some exciting things going on myself this weekend. I get to go check out the Savannah Bananas at Camden Yards. That's pretty cool. Pretty excited about that. That's for anyone that knows what that is, you know, if you know, you know. So pretty excited about that. And then otherwise, just going to be laying a little bit low, and then I got a beach day on Monday, so I'm going to be out enjoying some fun in the sun for about 15 minutes before I burn to a crisp. But that's all I got, guys. Basically going to go ahead and put a final pin in this. We do appreciate anyone who stepped in to listen to our fine podcast production, and we do ask that if you found our podcast to be educational, informative, and or entertaining, that you would simply share it with one person in your network. We know you multifamily people have lots of friends, and if there's someone that you think could benefit from our discussions, we would really appreciate you sending us their way, or sending them our way, or however that works. But otherwise, though, we do appreciate you. I am the host, Steve Heitzer, here with Everyone Needs a Spotter. To my left, Stephen D.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Did you forget how to say goodbye? Robert Decker.
I would say have a great weekend, but I'm going to add have a safe weekend.
Indeed. Emily?
Yes, everyone have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining. We'll catch up with you next time.
Yeah.